Let's take our chorus books this morning. We're going to start out with a couple of focus songs, and then we'll go on to some other things. 180 Disco Lullaby, I'm going to let it shine.
Let's have a word of prayer.
this morning. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for a good day. We thank you for the freedoms that you've given us in this country. We thank you for the Christian foundation that our nation is built upon. We are saddened to see in our day that we have turned our back on you and have not followed you the way we should. We pray that you would help us to be faithful to you, even though our nation isn't right now. And we pray that we would continue to try to reach as many as we can with the gospel of Christ to reach them and draw them to you. We thank you for our opportunity to be together. Thank you. We pray that we would have a good day. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. We don't really have any special announcements this morning, except for we'll have communion later on this morning. So you're still ready for that. Okay, let's get on to singing some other songs. Why don't we sing number 203? 203, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice.
Thank you.
one that's not listed on the calendar. I didn't see any birthdays listed for this week. So I guess we'll just celebrate the birth in our country instead. I trust you all have a good time on Tuesday, and I'm sure there'll be lots of cookouts and good times together as a family. So we'll all take the time to do that on Tuesday this week. Okay, well, children's class can be dismissed. Sorry, kid, but we have to love your sister. Don't you wish you had that kind of energy? I know I do. Alright. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to review verses 10 and 11 briefly, and then we're going to start learning verse 12 this morning. Ephesians chapter 6.
Behind me, Satan. He wasn't calling Peter Satan, but he was getting to the point of why Peter was hindering the Lord. The Lord Jesus said to the disciples, I'm going to Calvary. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. They're going to mock me. They're going to spit on me. They're going to do this, that, and the other thing. And Peter got in the way and said, I'm not going to let this happen. This is not going to happen. And the Lord had to rebuke the devil who was influencing Peter. Amen. I mentioned this last week. I don't believe that Christians can be demon possessed. But I believe that we can be influenced by the devil. No doubt about it. Amen. And one of the things that the Lord said to Peter was, one of the reasons why Peter was a hindrance is because Peter cared more for the things of the world than he did for the things of the Lord. And that's exactly what the Lord said to him. He said, you savor, which means you value and you care more for the things of the world than the things of the Lord. It was God's will for Jesus to go to Jerusalem and to be mocked and spit on and everything else. But Peter didn't want that to happen. He wanted to hinder the will of God. In fact, when Jesus said, you're an offense unto me, he was saying, you're a stumbling block. Amen. And so we all got to be careful because we can all be influenced by the devil and hinder the Lord's work. Amen. And our battle is certainly against spiritual wickedness in high places. How many are really battling is the good question. You think about that. How many are really, really battling the devil, really fighting the devil? You know, one of the things I think of, and by the way, I'm getting off track, but I think this morning's verses kind of lend itself to what I'm saying here is we are in a great battle, especially if we're trying to do something for the Lord. If you find yourself not having too much opposition from the devil, I might want to consider what kind of Christianity I have. One of the reasons I believe that Peter was a target of the devil. And by the way, Peter had a big bullseye on his back for the devil, for the devil as a target for the devil. And one of the reasons I believe that he was a big target because he was a big mouth. What that means is Peter had a big heart. He really did. He had a big heart and he had a big mouth. In fact, so much so that he put his foot in his mouth a lot of times. Amen. But he really, really, really wanted to live for the Lord. I believe he was sincere when he said to the Lord, I'm ready to go to prison. I'm ready to die. I really believe he was sincere. I think the spirit indeed was willing. His spirit was really willing to do that for the Lord. But the Lord said, it's not going to happen. You're going to wind up denying you even know me. Here's what he said to him. He said, Simon, Simon. In fact, he called his name twice. There are several times in the scripture where God uses people's names twice, and I believe it's really to get their attention. Martha, Martha. You remember Martha, Martha? He needed to get her attention because she was too busy serving him. She forsook him. Saul, Saul, need to get his attention because he's trying to kill the church, and God's trying to save him. Amen. Abraham, Abraham, Samuel, Samuel, Moses, Moses. I mean, and so Simon, Simon, the Lord said to Peter. And why did he use the name Simon? Simon was his old name, which refers to his old nature. You see, when you get saved, you still have the old nature. The old man's still alive. It's not gone. Matter of fact, that's where the battle comes from. I get saved. I get the Holy Spirit. I get this new nature. I get this new man who wants to do what the Lord wants him to do. And then I still have my old man who's fighting that. By the way, that's where the big battle comes from. The book of Galatians. We got the works of the flesh or we got the fruit of the spirit. We're going to do one or the other. Amen. And that's the battle. These are contrary to one to the other. And so, Simon, Simon, he said, pay attention. That old man, that old nature you still have, that's what the devil targets. A good fisherman knows how to fish, and I'm not a good fisherman. In fact, I tell people I'm not going fishing, I'm going to drown worms. That's what I'm going to do. But a real good fisherman has a tackle box. I've only had those startup kits, and they never did anything with it. You know, I had the little, you know, the little thing there with just a closed reel and all. You know what I'm talking about. A 3-pound fish would probably break the thing. But a real fisherman knows what he's going after. He knows where they're at, what bait to use in order to get them. And the devil knows us. The devil knows what we like. What I like, you might not like. What will get me might not get you. Amen. But the devil knows. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, here's what he said. I want you to understand this. Satan hath desired to have you. There are some Christians the devil could care less about. Because they don't make no difference. They ain't trying to be different and they ain't trying to make a difference. Leave them go. Let them have a good, worthless life. But some Christians have the kind of heart
Where they really, really want to live for God. Let me tell you something. The devil sniffs that out. Hold on a minute. We got a big mouth over here. We got somebody who's willing to live for the Lord and die for the Lord. And I'm going to have to get on this guy. Amen. Behold, Satan hath desired to have you. Turn if you would for a moment. And we're getting off course, but that's okay. Turn to the book of Acts chapter 12, I believe it is. Satan hath desired to have you. Are you desirable to the devil is the question. If you're making a dent for the Lord in this world, you're going to be a big target. The devil's got to put a stop to that. Amen? But if you're just a Christian in name only and you make no difference, you'll not sense any probably opposition from it. Paul the Apostle said, I believe it was in, I'm going to just throw this out. I think it's 1 Corinthians 16, maybe 9, just a possibility. He said there are many, he said there's a great and effectual open door here. And I think he was talking about Ephesus. He said there's a great effectual door opened up here. He said, man, in other words, God opened up a door and he was ministering and things were happening. He said this, but there are many oppositions, many oppositions. In where did I say to go? Thank you, brother. I was ready to go to Romans 12 and preach on being a living sacrifice, but we'll do that some other day. But Acts 12, look at verse number 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex. What's the next four words? He wasn't worried about everybody. But there were certain, James, and then Peter. There were certain of the church. He said, you know what? These Christians that come and go and they make no, I ain't worried about them. I got to concern myself with somebody who's got a heart who wants to live for God and wants to serve the Lord and wants to do something. I'm going to focus on them. They're the ones I got to focus on. Amen. In fact, he focused on Job. You remember? Amen. I believe it was during the time when angels, the sons of God, would come in and give an account to the Lord. And the devil also came. And I believe that he's the accuser of the brethren. And I don't doubt that he got before the Lord and said, look at this one over here, and look at this one over here, and look at this one over here, and look at this. And really, you know, think about it. And when the devil, a lot of times the devil's right. Amen. And I think the Lord had to say, well, hold on a minute. You know, since you're going to pinpoint all these bad examples, have you considered my servant Job? By the way, let me say that was a question that God asked the devil, but that was also an answer the devil had already given in the situation. He said, yeah, but there's a hedge about him. The devil had considered Job. In fact, he tried to get Job. Why would he consider Job? Because in that day, he was upright like none other. Perfect in his generation. He was a man with a heart for God. There's two things. God's looking for those with hearts for him to empower them. I think it's 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose hearts are perfect toward him. That word perfect does not mean sinless. The word perfect is the word complete or whole, wholehearted. God's eyes are going through the earth. He's looking for a man that has a heart for him that he can empower to live and to do what he wants them to do. But on the other hand, the devil's looking for hearts too. I think he's looking for the same kind of hearts. But he's not looking to empower them hearts. He's looking to devour them hearts. In 1 Peter 5:8 it says, be sober. Be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The devil's looking to devour. God's looking to empower. And both of them are looking for the right kind of heart. Amen? Not a perfect heart. If that were the case, they wouldn't find nobody. But they're looking for a man after God's own heart that they can use maybe Bathsheba to bring them down. Amen? We all have to be very, very careful. We're in a battle. And if you're not battling, by the way, if you're not battling, you're probably losing. Amen? The flesh indeed is willing, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Amen? Now, with that in mind, let's get on to our lesson this morning. that was just an impromptu, maybe the Lord speaking to somebody. Amen? I know he just spoke to my heart, especially as these are things that have been on my mind just this morning even about the battle. I'm in a battle. I'm in a great battle. In fact, I'm tired this morning because of the battle. In fact, I feel this morning. I feel like that guy had a dream. He was a muffler. Did you ever hear about that guy? Oh, he woke up exhausted. See, now the only people that get that are people that have any kind of knowledge of the exhaustism of a car, amen? But it's true. The battle's real. The battle's real, amen? And if you ain't been battling, you might want to consider where your Christian life is at, amen? Anyway, this morning I want to talk about, or at least bring up, something that maybe the next few weeks, the Lord willing, that we'll talk about. We'll talk about prayer. We already finished up with one another. We're done with one another. Can I get a witness on that one? I'm done with one another. But I want to talk to you about prayer this morning. About a year and a half ago, I shared a lesson on prayer. And I want to kind of hit some of those points this morning, because over the next few weeks, the Lord willing, I want to talk about prayer. Prayer is so important. By the way, if there's a great weapon for the believer, it's prayer. There ain't no doubt about it. Somebody said this: the devil fears the weakest Christian on his knees. And the reason he does is because when he sees a Christian on his knees, he's noticed he's not fighting that Christian. He's fighting the one that Christian is getting a hold of. Amen? And so you and I believe the greatest battles of the Christian life is prayer. Praying and speaking to the Lord and walking with the Lord. Let me give you some thoughts this morning. I'm going to save you from turning. I wrote some scriptures down. But let me give you, I want to ask and I want to answer two questions over the next few weeks. And here's the first one. Why pray? Why pray? It's a good question. Why should I pray? Why should I be concerned about prayer? And here's, by the way, I'm talking to Christians, by the way. If you're not a Christian, there is a prayer you need to pray. We'll talk about that in a few moments. But you and I that are saved, we need to pray. We need to pray. It's our life's breath. Amen? No doubt about it. We can't live without prayer, because prayer is what contacts us with the Lord. And we can't live without him. Amen? Prayer, number one. Here's why we ought to pray. Number one, prayer is a mandate. Here's why we need to pray. Listen to these verses. Matthew 26:41. Here's what Jesus said. Watch and pray. In fact, he was speaking to Peter. He was speaking to James and John. He was speaking to the three that he took with him to Gethsemane, who were in a spiritual battle and who were tired and weak and weary. And the Lord told him, watch and pray. Amen. Here's another verse for you that mandates us to pray. Luke 18:1, which is the first verse of a parable in verses 1 to 8, speaking about that widow who went to the unjust judge for answered prayer in her respect. And in Luke 18:1, it says this. Here's what Jesus said. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Why say not faint? Because we're all tempted to faint in prayer. Amen. Prayer, especially real prayer. Not just, doing my little duty and shooting something up so I could feel good. Amen? Shooting something up to feel good only has to do with your conscience. But shooting something up from your heart has to do with you and your being. Amen? Why should I pray? There's a mandate to pray. Jesus said, watch and pray. Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Romans 12:12, here's another verse for you. Continue instant in prayer. Continue instant in prayer. Instant in prayer. Instant. I mentioned this before. Instant pudding. What do you got to do? Simply add water and stir it up, right? Or milk. I'm not sure. Really haven't made it. But anyway. Instant means this. It's ready. It's ready. You know, what did Paul say to Timothy about preaching? You know, be instant. In season. Out of season. Be ready. And so we need to be ready to pray. We need to be ready to pray. At a moment's notice, we need to be ready to pray. Amen. That's important. Ready to have contact with the Lord. Amen. In fact, somebody said you ought to get a hold of the Lord in the morning and shoulder the phone all day long. I don't know how well that illustration is going to go over in a few more years, because people are thinking, how do you shoulder a phone? Especially a cell phone nowadays are so thin. I don't know if that I could put my head in. Can I get a witness on that one? I mean, some of us we know the cord thing. And in fact, some of you have had businesses where you had that thing connected to your phone that rested on your shoulder. Anybody know about that? Yeah, amen. I don't even want to bring up the word rotary, but nonetheless. Amen. We need to watch and pray. We need to continue instant in prayer. And by the way, according to our text in Ephesians 6:18, in the memory text, which is the battle text, the putting on the armor because of the battle, it says in verse number 18 of Ephesians 6, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, many people add that part, say, throw that in with the armor. Because it talks about having all the armor on, and then it says in verse 18, after putting all that armor on, make sure you pray. To me, I think of the picture of a soldier getting all equipped up and having all the armor that he needs to go out in the world and to do the battle he needs to have, but he needs to make sure he has a radio so that he can be in contact with headquarters. Amen? And that's exactly what we need. The Lord has not sent us in this battle and left us alone. We have a contact with him. Amen? And that's what prayer is all about. Here's another one for you. These are mandates. These are scriptures that just tell us as believers, we need to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Colossians chapter 4, verse number 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And then one of the simplest verses to memorize is 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. What does that mean? Does that mean quit your job, stay home, get on your knees all day? No. It means have an attitude of prayer. Always in contact with the Lord. Amen. Why should I pray? Number one, prayer is a mandate. I want you to turn with me for a moment to the book of James, chapter number 4, please. Why should I pray? Why should I pray? You know, prayer is so needy and so important and so beneficial to you and I. We almost wonder, why does the Lord have to make us pray? Why does he have to tell us to pray? You'd almost think that it'd be something we would do anyway. Amen. Well, sometimes we're like children, aren't we? We need to be told to eat certain things that we don't like. Children, that is. Not eating children. Children eating things they don't like. So everything, what's he trying to say here? Children aren't always apt to eat their vegetables, especially the dark green ones. Can I get a witness on that? Brussels sprouts? They got to be cooked right. Brussels sprouts, they got to be cooked right. Amen. And there's a lot of greens that children, you know, and a lot of healthy things. I know people that don't eat vegetables at all. They're like, they're about as white as Casper is, but somebody will get that later on. But it's not the healthiest thing in the world. But children aren't apt to do that. Children would rather go eat the junk food than go eat the health food. Amen? And so they're commanded by their parents to eat the right things. Why? Because their parents know that they probably wouldn't do it. Amen? They don't understand the value of it yet. Number one, prayer is a mandate. Here's why we ought to pray. It's a mandate. God commands us to pray. But here's number two, and there's only 2 points to this lesson this morning. But here's the second reason we need to pray. Not only is prayer a mandate, but number two, prayer is a means. It's a means. Prayer is a way of getting what God has for us. Amen? James 4, would you look at verse number 2? James 4, verse number 2. There's reasons why God tells us to pray, because listen, we need to pray. Prayer is a benefit to us as God's people. Amen. James 4, look at verse number 2. You lust, he said, and you have not. You kill, you desire to have, and you cannot obtain. You fight in war. Here's the last statement of the verse I want you to get. Yet you have not because, what? You ask not. See, prayer is a means. Prayer is a way of getting what God has for me. Prayer is a way of getting what God wants for me. Let me say it this way, and you know this, prayer is a means of salvation. In Romans 10, you remember verse number 13, I believe it is, whosoever shall what? Call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We know the very context is talking about the gospel needs to be preached. The Lord Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection needs to be preached. And when the word is preached, that word produces faith, or that word gives people something to believe. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. When people hear the truth of the gospel and they believe in their heart, they become saved. They call on the Lord, be it however they do it. Amen. They call on the Lord to become saved. Prayer is a means of salvation. But let me give you another thought here, since especially we're dealing with Christians. Prayer is a means of sanctification. Now, what do you mean by sanctification? Here's what I mean by sanctification. Prayer is a means of overcoming the world, the flesh, and the devil, and becoming more and more what God wants us to be. The sanctified Christian is the Christian whose life is becoming more and more what God wants him to be. I promise you that you and I will never become what God wants us to be apart from his help. Amen? I cannot. See, in and of myself, I can do nothing. Jesus said in John 15, without me, you can do nothing. But Philippians 4:13, the contrast says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Prayer is a way of you and I overcoming in the battles that we have. We fight, every Christian fights three basic battles. We fight the flesh, that's our old nature. We fight the world, amen. That's this system around us that the devil is the god of. Talking about that this morning, amen. And we fight the devil. We are in a battle against three enemies, and prayer is the key to victory over these enemies. Amen. When my flesh wants its own will and way, I need to cry out to God and say, Lord, help me. Amen. In fact, I believe it was Psalms 12:1, David, he said, the godly are ceasing and the faithful are failing, right? As he looked around him and he saw all this going on, here's what he said. Two words, help, Lord. That's it. Help, Lord. As I'm looking at the godly ceasing, they're stopping to be godly, and the faithful are failing. As I see the devil knocking out Christians one by one, I look and I say to myself, listen, there goes I, but by the grace or the help of God. Amen? Help, Lord. Help me, because I'll be one of the numbers if you don't help me. Amen? By the way, and that's not a long prayer, but that's short and strong. In fact, strength in prayer is better than length in prayer. Better to be sincere in a few words than insincere in a half an hour. Amen? When Peter began to walk on the water toward the Lord, you know, remember when first of all they saw Jesus coming, they didn't know it was him, they got scared. And he said, it is I, be not afraid. He didn't say, I'm Jesus. They didn't need to know his name, they just needed to hear his voice, because his sheep just hear his voice and they know who it is. It's not, be not afraid. And Peter said, Lord, if it's thou, I like that word if it's thou, bid me to come on to thee on the water. Hold on a minute. Peter wanted to walk on the water, but here's one condition. I'm only going to walk on this water if it's really you calling me. Amen. If the Lord ain't calling you to walk on water, please don't try it. We got some knuckleheads throwing themselves in lion's dens at zoos saying the Lord told them to do it. Daniel never threw himself in a lion's den. Daniel lived for God, and because of it, somebody else threw him in there. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Amen. Anyway, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come. And he said, it is I, come on. And Peter began to walk on water. You know, we ought to ever hear about this. It's a miraculous. This man walked on water. But as the winds and the waves began to create the the circumstances. He got his eyes off the Lord and he got his eyes on the circumstances. And when we focus on the circumstances, it's discouraging, depressing, and defeating. And here's what it says. And beginning to sink. He didn't cry, now I lay me down to sleep and pray, you know, my Lord, my feet to keep or something. You know what I mean? Beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Sure prayer, strong prayer from the heart. And immediately the Lord reached forth his hand and lifted him up. Amen. This is what, see, what is going to keep us from being overcome by the devil? What's going to keep us from being overcome by the world? What's going to keep us from being overcome by ourselves? Him. He ever lives to make intercession for us. Amen? And that's the whole point of it. That's the whole point of it. The book of Hebrews, as you well know, in fact, we're near the book of Hebrews. Would you look at chapter 2? Hebrews chapter 2. You and I, as we go through this life, if we're trying to live for God, it's not going to be easy. It's not an easy road we're traveling. Many are the thorns along the way. Amen? If you and I are trying to live for the Lord and trying to do what he wants us to do, we got the fight, we got the flesh against us, we got the world against us, we got the devil against us, and we got those who he influences against us. And as we're trying to live for God and we're going through the opposition, the temptation is quit. That's the temptation. Quit. Tired of fighting. Quit. In the book of Hebrews, these Hebrew believers got saved. They were on fire for God. Nothing was too much to give. But persecution started to hit them real hard. This whole book, it's told in chapter 13, I'm thinking verse 22, he calls it an exhortation. This book was an exhortation. It was an encouragement. It was a keep on, keeping on, don't quit, don't give in, don't throw in the that's what it was. He's speaking to people that are battling and weak and weary and tired, and he's encouraging them to keep on keeping on. Run the race looking unto Jesus. That's what he's doing. Throughout the book, he tells these believers who are struggling and on the brink of quitting, he tells them Jesus is alive on a throne of grace, there to help you make it through. Get a hold of him. Pastor Freeman was, one of his songs as he was ending his battle, it will be worth it all when we see Christ. I think it's that song where it talks about there's no help when you look around, but there is one in heaven who knows our deepest care. Let Jesus solve your problem. Just go to him in prayer. Amen? And as we go through and as we battle, we got to understand this one who loves us and cares for us is there to help us. Stephen, in the midst of his persecution, you remember, they were stoning him to death. And he lifted up his eyes and he saw Jesus standing. Amen. Hebrews 2, look at verse number 17 and 18. Again, keep in mind who he's writing to. These people are struggling. These people, they're just about ready. They're weak, they're weary, and so on. And he says in verse number 17, wherefore in all things it behooved him, he's referring to Jesus, to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. He was getting them to focus on the high priest, Jesus, is merciful and faithful. Look at verse 18. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted. When did Jesus suffer temptation? Boy, he suffered temptation in many, many ways, but especially when the devil came and knocked on his door in the wilderness. You remember that. Amen? Tempted at all points, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Yet without sin. Here's what it says in verse 18. He is what? Able to succor. That word succor means help you, aid you, deliver you. Them that are what? Them that are what? Tempted. Them that are what? Tempted. These people were tempted to quit. They were tempted to throw in the towel. And they were encouraged. Listen, he went through it. He went through things like we go through. He's compassionate and merciful. And he is able to help you to get through. He is able. He is able. I know he's able, right? I know my Lord is able to carry me. I got somebody singing with me. Amen. Look at chapter number 4, if you would. Chapter number 4 of Hebrews. And we're going to close in a moment. He wrote several times in this book about where Jesus is right now and what he's doing. Amen. He's living for us. He's living for us. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they emphasize how he died for us. Hebrews, some call it the fifth gospel because it continues the story of Christ. But this book says he lives for us. He died for us. He now lives for us. He died to save my soul. He lives to save my life. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4, look at verse number 14 to 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Look at the next statement. Let us hold fast our profession. Can I tell you what he's saying to them? Let us hold fast our profession. Let's keep on living for God. That's what he's saying. You not hold on to your salvation. Keep on holding on to your living for God. Amen. That's what he's saying. He's alive. He's on the throne of grace. He's there to help us so we can keep on keeping on. Look at verse number 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. What does that mean? That means we have a high priest who's touched with how we feel, who cares about how we feel. Amen? But was in all points tempted like as we are. Again, he reemphasizes, he was tempted like us. He went through things just like us. By the way, that's what can make him so compassionate. Verse 16, what does it say in light of this fact of our great high priest, our compassionate high priest? What does it tell us to do? Verse number 16, let us therefore, the word therefore, as you well know, says in light of the truth of this great high priest, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. What is grace? Grace for the Christian is the help of God. The help of God. Amen? In fact, the verse actually spells out that. Let us come to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. And what else? Find grace to help. Grace to help. Here's what it says. In the time of need. And some see that statement, time of need, in the nick of time. In the nick of time. You and I that are trying to live for God will face opposition. The bigger hearts will fight bigger battles. And in the midst of those battles, the devil will say, is it worth it? Just throw in the towel and quit. In fact, sometimes he'll send somebody along and say, hey, why don't you just simply curse God and die? But this book here says, you don't have to quit. You don't have to throw in the towel. He knows how you feel. He's been there, done that. He can help you. One more verse and I'm quitting. Sunday school. Look with me if you would. Hebrews chapter 7. Let's close with this verse. Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 25. Again, this book, emphasizing the situation, you got to keep going to the Lord if you're going to keep on going for the Lord. Amen? You got to keep going to the Lord if you're going to keep on going for the Lord. Amen? That's how we've made it this far, thus far. Hebrews 7, look at verse number 25. Wherefore, he is able. Boy, that's a great theme in this book, isn't it? He's able also to save or rescue them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He ever lives above, amen, for me to intercede, right? Do we sing that one? Do you have that one? No, are you serious? Arise, my soul, arise. Never heard of that one? Oh, boy. You heard it before? It's a great, great, great hymn, amen. But it talks about the fact that he lives for you and me. Amen. He died for our sins. He died to save our soul. But thank God he lives. He lives. He lives to save our lives. Amen. As Christians on a daily basis. If we served a dead Savior, we'd be in trouble. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word this morning. I pray you'll bless our time of fellowship. Bless the upcoming service in Jesus' name. Amen.